Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. Rap mogul Suge Knight pleaded not guilty to murder, attempted murder, and hit-and-run charges today. The charges stem from a fatal hit-and-run in the parking lot of a Compton restaurant. Was at the Compton courthouse for Knight's arraignment.
Suge Knight stood calmly to the side of the courtroom. He replied with a polite yes, sir, to Judge Ricardo Ocampo's questions. The district attorney says Knight deliberately ran over Terry Carter and Clee Sloan on Thursday in the parking lot at Tam's Burgers in Compton. Carter died at the scene and Sloan was injured. Knight's attorney, David Kenner, says his client hit the men, but he says it was an accident.
He feels bad that somebody that he knew is deceased. He doesn't, it's not his fault.
The accident happened after an argument on the set of the film Straight Out of Compton. The injured man, Clee Sloan, is a local filmmaker. Michael Shapiro is Sloan's attorney.
Well, I'm not a doctor. What I observed was a very badly mangled left foot and complaining of head injury, concussion.
Shortly after the hearing, Knight collapsed and was taken to the hospital. His bail hearing is set for February 9th. Phoenix So, Annenberg Radio News.
California Attorney General Kamala Harris was in Los Angeles today talking about the verdict in the so-called revenge porn trial. Kevin Ballert was found guilty on 21 counts of identity theft and 6 counts of extortion. For almost a year, Ballert ran 2 websites that let people anonymously post sexually explicit images of women without their permission. This is the first major conviction for the revenge porn law that was passed in October 2013. Harris describes these cyber crimes as cowardly and criminal.
I would suggest for anybody who's committing a crime with a computer, you better be clear that if you end up in a courtroom, you better bring your toothbrush because you might end up in jail.
Harris stressed the importance of using technology available to law enforcement to deal with future crimes committed over the internet. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors heard an update today on the recent Southern California measles outbreak that started last month at Disneyland. Jonathan Tolliver reports.
Los Angeles County Interim Health Officer Dr. Jeffrey Gunzenhauser appeared before the Board of Supervisors this morning. He told them 21 Los Angeles County residents have been diagnosed with measles, 17 of them linked to the outbreak at Disneyland. He says the county health department has been blanketing the county with emails and televised briefings. He was particularly worried about the west side of the county, where he says some school districts have allowed up to 10% of parents to exempt their kids from mandated measles vaccinations. Supervisor Sheila Kuehl urged the health department to send materials to schools to help them combat misinformation about the link between vaccinations and autism.
And I think the problem, and I'll call it a problem, under state law is the ability of school districts or the requirement for them to grant exemptions if parents want students to be exempted.
Dr. Gunzenhauser says the county is slowly getting the outbreak under control. Jonathan Tolliver, Annenberg Radio News.
The supervisors also voted to spend $3.5 million on surveying county parks, hiking trails, and animal reserves. Part of the plan is to single out underserved communities that lack public parks. It will also push funding to existing parks in need. Supervisors Mark Ridley Thomas and Michael Antonovich say this plan could lead to a new parcel tax to bolster funding. The survey could take up to 16 months to complete. The LA City Council announced its support of higher penalties for graffiti vandals who deface the city's public murals. Council member Paul Krikorian brought the ordinance to the city council. It will also raise the reward for those who report graffiti. The council wants to double both the penalties and rewards to discourage tagging. But LA-based street artist Man One says the bill is less about protecting murals and more about money.
It comes down to money, and that's what what it's about. The city just wants to figure out a way to get more money, and they figure they'll just start, you know, taxing the vandals.
Krikorian, on the other hand, says the public should report graffiti vandalism. The current reward for information that helps identify vandals is $1,000. Standard & Poor's rating service will pay California about $200 million to settle a lawsuit. the company settled with the U.S. Department of Justice and more than a dozen states over charges that it inflated mortgage securities ratings. In a separate settlement, S&P will pay more than $100 million, which will go to California's public pension fund, CalPERS. Consumer Watchdog is bringing a class action lawsuit against medical insurance company HealthNet. The plaintiffs say HealthNet misrepresented its doctors and hospital networks. Leslie Noy reports.
Consumer Watchdog held a news conference to discuss the current lawsuit against HealthNet Insurance for allegedly misrepresenting its doctors and hospital networks. According to the lawsuit, HealthNet made the fewest doctors available to consumers in 2014. Therefore, it made it difficult for consumers to pick which providers would accept their insurance. Brianna Walmick was forced to pay $12,000 out of pocket for a double mastectomy and a breast reconstruction surgery. Brianna spent hours on the phone with HealthNet trying to find a surgeon.
I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how to figure out how to pay for my surgeon. I ended up not wanting to delay my surgery anymore.
The hearing of the lawsuit will take place at Los Angeles Superior Court later this month. So far, HealthNet hasn't commented on any of these allegations. Leslie Noy, Annenberg Radio News.
State water officials say California residents met Governor Jerry Brown's call to reduce water usage by 20%. Water use fell 22% in December compared to the same month in 2013. But state officials say the state got some help from the rain, which may have reduced lawn watering. In January, California had historically low rainfall totals. The state's mandatory water restrictions are likely to extend and expand later this month. President Barack Obama's newly released budget proposal would support an expansion of the LA metro system. Andrew Tweedy has the story.
The president's budget includes a commitment of more than $1 billion for California transportation and construction projects. About $330 million will be dedicated to extending LA's Purple Line from the Mid-City area to Century City. City officials believe the long-awaited Purple Line expansion would be crucial to the LA public transit system. LA Mayor Eric Garcetti said the city's multiple transportation projects are now the nation's largest public works program. While many officials are excited about the proposal, funding is far from a sure thing. The Republican-controlled Congress has criticized Obama's spending plan as excessive and overly dependent on higher taxes and could resist the president's plans to expand public transit. Andrew Tweedy, Annenberg Radio News.
USC Athletics launched a new website on Monday in honor of Black History Month. The site will feature a new story daily about USC's rich African-American heritage.
You know, we're right here in the heart of Los Angeles and in the cultural center of everything in this city. So as the world changes, so has USC. And when we're looking at about 100 years of history here, the story we released.
Check uscbhm.com every day for new articles and videos featuring prominent athletes who are pioneers and role models for the Trojan family. Harper Lee will release her second novel, Go Set a Watchman, a follow-up to her 1960 Pulitzer Prize-winning book, To Kill a Mockingbird. Though it's a sequel, Go Set a Watchman was actually written first. It's about an adult Scout Finch returning to Maycomb, Alabama, to visit her lawyer father Atticus during the Civil Rights Movement. Lee's editor encouraged her to use Scout's childhood flashbacks as inspiration for what would be The To Kill a Mockingbird. Now it's time to explore the origins of English in our segment, Root Source.
On today's Root Source, we take a look at the twisty history of the word weird. Weird has been in the English language for almost 400 years, when Shakespeare borrowed it to name some characters in a certain Scottish play.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glam. All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
Those are the weird sisters, caused all sorts of problems in Shakespeare's Macbeth. In the 1600s, though, not just anybody would be weird. You had to be supernatural, a witch, or connected with destiny. That's how it got to English from the Germanic verdies, which meant fate. And one last thing, weird is one of the only words that isn't spelled I before E, except after C, making spelling weird correctly almost double the toil and trouble.
Public libraries are busier than ever in today's digital world. J.J. Maldonado took a tour around L.A.'s Central Library to find out how it's helping the L.A. community.
On the second level of Central Library, there is a room called Teenscape, where teens and kids can sit and do their homework after school or participate in the day's activities. Today's activity was learning about photography.
When you look at it, does it look like that to your eyes?
They were going towards each other.
Madeline Pena, Los Angeles Public Library's media representative, says this is just one of the many programs the Central Library offers to keep up with the ever-changing times and struggles that libraries now face.
Libraries are more relevant than ever now. Libraries have stayed, you know, on top of the technologies, on top of what's going on in the world in many different aspects.
The programs created by the libraries have helped many in the community, says Brenda Brew, LA Public Library's public relations specialist, who shares with me one of her fondest memories.
I coordinated a story of a woman who had been out on drugs for like 20 years out on the street. And she was trying to come back and get her life together, but she didn't know how to read. So we helped her to read, and she got a job, and she cleaned up her life. And after 20 years on the street, and I mean, she looked the 20 years on that street, you know what I mean? But she, the smile she had that she could read, it was just, I'll never forget that. I mean, you see, I'm about to get teary-eyed now, because wow.
While the programs are bringing in people to the library, so are the modern technologies that are ironically keeping people out. Pena and Brew insisted I take a tour of the Central Library to find out for myself. Our first stop was a tech kiosk where patrons can check out laptops and tablets for up to 2 hours.
I'm choosing the Nexus tablet. I'm checking out. I agree to the terms of service. And I'm placing my library card, my PIN code. I'm sorry, I owe money.
What did it say? Unequal fee.
It says blocked.
Do not discuss our card.
But otherwise, it would say approved.
We have a video online. We have a video that will show you exactly how it works.
Cool.
Yes.
And then they can borrow it for, you said, for up to 2 hours?
Up to 2 hours, yes.
Awesome.
We have 63 computers in here. 63.
The computer lab was also filled with people. Some patrons were standing along the wall, and many were seated. Inside the reading room were small brown chairs that faced the stage, where puppet shows could be virtually performed by placing your mobile device or an iPad up to the stage using an app called Archive LAPL.
The Archive LAPL app. There's a puppet show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Borita and the Coyotes.
Another feature of the app is viewing exhibits like the map collection featuring a video from the Central Library's map expert. And another way the Central Library is mapping its future is by providing classes, such as citizenship corners, where those interested in becoming citizens can access materials and handouts.
We're busier than ever, and whoever says that libraries are dead, now that you have Google, you don't need libraries, invite them to come over to the library and just see, just one day, any neighborhood library, just stand there and see how much libraries are used. From kids, to parents, to seniors, to new Americans, everybody's using the libraries.
Long gone are the days of finding books the old-fashioned way. You can now even access books online and download them to your Kindle or tablet instantly. All you need is a library card, which takes less than 5 minutes to get, and it's all for free. LA Public Libraries have kept up digitally while also preserving its traditional services. JJ Maldonado, Annenberg Radio News.
There you go. Thank
you. You heard earlier today that the LA City Council threw its support behind higher penalties for graffiti. Later tonight, you can hear more from the council member who wrote the bill, and a local street artist offers his take. Tune in to Trojan Vision at 6 o'clock for the story. That's it for this Tuesday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.